glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I believe that there's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do in this place tonight. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to move us from glory to glory tonight. I believe that he wants to move us from a transitory experience to a place of permanent transformation. And I believe that he wants to move us from an experience of condemnation to an experience of freedom. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, up until this very day, there exist two different kinds of religious experiences. From Paul's day right up until our day, there are two different types of religious experiences that are available to us, that are possible for us. One is an experience of fading glory, and the other is an experience of ever-increasing glory, from glory to glory. Up until this very day, these two very different kinds of religious experiences exist side by side with one another. Believers can worship side by side in the same church. They can work side by side. They can live side by side and yet be living two very different kinds of religious experiences. Some living a fading glory experience and some experiencing from glory to glory. So I just want to talk about these two very different kinds of experiences. Paul is contrasting two different covenants, the old covenant and the new covenant. And beloved, listen, just because we live in the era of the new covenant doesn't mean that everyone is living a new covenant experience. Paul says, up until this very day, there are those who are living an old covenant experience in the new covenant era. And he contrasts them this way. He says, the old covenant is an experience of fading glory, but the new covenant is a covenant of ever-increasing glory, where we go from glory to glory. So let's talk about it for a minute or two this evening. What is an experience of fading glory? Fading glory is an experience of dead letters. Paul says this, the ministry that brought death was engraved in letters of stone. He says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, I want to make something clear. Paul's talking about the law here. And I want to be clear about the fact that there was no deficiency with the law that God gave. The law was and still is perfect and beautiful. In fact, when the law was given, it was accompanied by such glory that the Israelites couldn't even look on the face of Moses. Jesus did not abolish the law. Jesus fulfilled the law and he completed it. He was the living embodiment of all the righteousness described in the Old Testament law and prophets. He satisfied all the demands of the law and he completed the law. He honored the spirit of the law and he even articulated the spirit of the law in a way that had never been articulated before, and thereby he completed the law. There was never a deficiency with the law. There wasn't even a deficiency with Moses. The Bible says Moses was faithful in all God's house. He talked to God face to face as a man talks to his friend. He was the meekest man who ever lived. So there was no deficiency in the law and there was no deficiency in Moses, but there were two deficiencies I find that made it an experience of fading glory. The first deficiency was with the men that God gave the law to. Their hearts were dead. And even though the words were written by the finger of the living God, they became dead letters in the hands of men with dead hearts. Beloved, I want to say that if you are alive in Christ, then this book is the living word of God. If you're not alive in Christ, then this is a book of lifeless letters. People talk about red letter Bibles. Without Christ abiding in your heart, people are carrying around dead letter Bibles. The second deficiency was that the words were not accompanied by the permanently abiding Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit wasn't poured out yet because Christ was not ascended from the dead. So the presence of God would appear and then withdraw. It would come and then it would go. And it is only by abiding in the Spirit and having the Spirit abiding in us that these words remain living words inside of us. Jesus said that. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll bear much fruit. Dead letters are rituals and rules and regulations that don't yield lasting results in our lives. Dead letters condemn us without giving any hope for change. Dead letters point out all of our deficiencies, and they leave us woefully short of the glory of God. Dead letters leave us stuck always in the same place. They don't inspire hope. They don't encourage. They don't lift up. They don't impart vision. Dead letters don't work because they try to change us from the outside in. Do you know that Christianity is not a religion of rules? In fact, in the New Testament, there are only 5 rules to keep. Did you know that? In Acts 15:21, the Jerusalem Council met and they said, let's not make it hard for people who are turning to Christ. So they said, let's stick to the 10 commandments because Moses has been preached in every city since the very beginning. So they said, all right, let's not make it difficult. Let's not make this thing hard. Let's just stick, first of all, to the 10 commandments. But how many of you know that Jesus reduced the 10 commandments down to just 2? Jesus said, all the law, the prophets are summed in this, thou shalt love the Lord with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's just 2 rules right there. And then the Jerusalem Council added 4 more rules on top of that in Acts 15. They said, abstain from food offered to idols. Abstain from sexual immorality, abstain from eating the meat of strangled animals, and abstain from eating blood. But then on the first one, Paul actually shared that he practiced the don't ask, don't tell policy. Don't ask if the meat was offered to an idol, and as long as you don't ask, it doesn't matter. So that makes 10 commandments boil down to just 2 rules, and 4 rules from the Jerusalem Council really turned into 3 by Paul. So that just makes 5 rules to keep. It's not really complicated. It's easy. We should call the Bible salvation for dummies. Beloved, Christianity is not a religion of rules. It's a religion of life in the Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit causes the righteousness of Christ to live inside of me so that, like Jesus, I too become a living embodiment of the righteousness described in the law and the prophets. So what's all the other stuff? If there's only 5 things to keep in this entire book, what is all the rest of the stuff from Genesis to Revelation? Well, everything else is a description or a prescription. Everything else is either a description of what a life transformed by Christ looks like, or it's a prescription for participating in the supernatural things of God. Fasting and prayer is a prescription for answered prayer. Tithing and generous giving is a prescription for supernatural provision and blessing. Praying in the Spirit is a prescription for supernatural strength and perception. Fading glory is an experience of dead letters. How many of you have ever struggled to read the Bible? You open it, you don't understand it, it doesn't make sense to you. Come on, tell the truth. It puts you to sleep. I don't take sleeping pills. If you ever have a hard time sleeping, just turn to Leviticus or Numbers. I promise you. You'll be out in minutes. Turn to the Gospel of John. The devil will make sure you go to sleep because he doesn't want you to see what's written in there. So many people have that kind of experience with this book. It's a dead letter Bible. They read it and it doesn't move them. It doesn't minister. It doesn't lift up. Something wonderful happens when the Spirit of Christ fills your life to overflowing. And all of a sudden, it's like you put on a pair of glasses and you begin to see wonderful things in the Bible. You know, the Word of God says that all Scripture is God breathed. That means the living breath of God blows out of the pages of this book. And as you turn each page filled with the Spirit of God, the life of God fills you to overflowing and you receive life from it. Fading glory is an experience of dead letters and it's an experience of dead ends. Paul says, we're not like Moses who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from staring at him while the radiation of God's presence faded away. Moses would go into the presence of God in the tent of meeting, up on the top of the mountain. He would spend time in the presence of God. The Bible says he talked to God face to face as a man talks with his friend. And what would be left on his face was a luminous presence of God, a radiating light that was shining on his face. Only the light didn't last. And as it faded away over a period of time, Moses covered his face with a veil so that the Israelites wouldn't stare at the spectacle. And something strikes me about the veil of Moses. People couldn't see how his glory experience ended. And how it ended was that Moses was left just plain Moses again. He was unchanged. After all of that, after all of that glory, after all of that time in the presence of God, after all of that radiance that was shining from his face, when it was all over, the veil covered the fact that in the end he was just the same as when he begun. Beloved, that is a fading glory experience. The children of Israel lived that again and again and again. They would have these incredible moments of visitation from God, these incredible encounters, and they would be all revved up for God, but it never stuck. It never lasted. That was the story through the whole Old Testament. If you ever read the Bible and say, those dummies, what were they thinking? They saw 10 plagues come down on the people of Egypt. They saw God destroy Egypt while the Israelites were safe in Goshen. They saw God pass over the firstborn of every Israelite house that was protected by the blood of the Lamb. And they saw God take the firstborn of every Egyptian house. They saw God stand between them and the Egyptian army in a cloud of his presence. And here's the cool thing. The Bible says that when God stood between them and the Egyptian army, on their side, it was daylight. And on the Egyptian side, it was black as night. When I get to heaven, I want to find out how that works. They saw the Red Sea split in two. They walked across on dry ground. And then they saw those walls of water collapse in and drown Pharaoh's horses and chariots. They saw all of that amazing encounter with the glory of God. And the next day, they were complaining about the cafeteria food. And you read that and you say, you big dummies. How could you have such amazing encounters in the presence of the Lord, and the very next day, the glory, that radiating presence, that all of that passion and that excitement from that encounter, it is faded away, and you are just the same as you were before you started. Made a golden calf. Fading glory was the experience of so many heroes of the Old Testament. Samson. Do powerful, mighty exploits when the Holy Spirit came upon him. But when the Holy Spirit left him, he was just the same as when he started. Saul. Remember Saul pursuing David through the wilderness, and he came upon the company of the prophets, and he lay all night and he prophesied all night. And in the morning, the glory faded and Saul got up and went on in his pursuit of David. David himself, King Solomon, again and again, in the time of the kings, Josiah, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Uzziah, read about their lives. Every one of them had these amazing encounters, supernatural encounters, where God did miraculous things, defeated their enemies, showed his presence, prospered them, blessed them. But every time, it was a fading glory experience. It never lasted. It never stuck. It never stayed. Can I tell you that that is the essence of condemnation? Paul says that the old covenant, the fading glory experience, is a covenant of condemnation, because you are condemned to stay the same forever. You're condemned to stay stuck in the same self-destructive habits, the same self-destructive patterns of living. You're condemned to stay stuck in the same self-punishing situations. You're condemned to stay stuck in the same self-loathing. That is the essence of condemnation. You're condemned to be like this forever. How many times in our lives have we had fading glory experiences? You know, maybe we have an encounter with God that's dramatic. Maybe at a retreat, maybe at a conference. We run something here called Cleansing Stream at harvest time, one of the most powerful classes that we offer here. And at the end of Cleansing Stream, there's a retreat, and the retreat experience. How many of you have been on a Cleansing Stream retreat? How many of you say that other than salvation, it's one of the most powerful experiences that you've been through? Powerful, powerful experience. Maybe you come to the Greenwich Outpouring services and you receive a prophetic word or an encounter in the presence of the Lord here, or you receive a deliverance or a healing, and for a while we're all revved up. For a while we're all joyful. How many of you know what it means to be on a spiritual high? You know, we're just take on the world, and we're free from bondages, and we're full of the joy of the Lord. And then little by little, the passion fades, the zeal fades, the joyfulness fades, the old things keep creeping back up on us again. Beloved, can I tell you that that is a fading glory experience? And the thing about the veil is that the veil blinds us from seeing that at the end of the day, we have gone right back to where we started before. You know, the prayer that started this whole outpouring was a prayer of Moses from Exodus chapter 33. It's a prayer that I've prayed every day for 12 years here at Harvest Time. We had a guest speaker. For those of you that aren't familiar with this story, we had a guest speaker that came on Mother's Day, Ken Gott from Sunderland, England. And in our 8:30 worship service, he preached on Exodus chapter 33. And at the end of the service, he gave me the microphone to close. It was 10 o'clock. It was time for our next service to begin. And since he had preached on Exodus 33 and I had prayed Moses' prayer out of those verses for the last 12 years every day, I just decided to use that to close the service. And so I prayed Moses' three petitions. God, consider that this is your people. Lord, consider that we're willing to pay the price. Consider that we're willing, that we want to be your instruments of salvation. If you're gonna do anything in Connecticut, if you're gonna do anything in New York, if you're gonna send a revival, we're here to tell you that we want to be in on the IPO, the initial public outpouring. God, consider this is your people. The second request is, show me your ways. Show me heaven's strategies that bring heaven's results. In Psalm 103, it says that the children of Israel were witnesses to God's mighty deeds, but Moses understood God's ways. You see, the children of Israel were witnesses to miracles, but Moses was a worker of miracles. He prayed, God, show me your ways. Show me the strategies from heaven that release supernatural activity of God on the earth. The third request is, now show me your glory. I have to be honest with you, when I prayed those words, I really wasn't thinking very spiritual thoughts. I was really thinking about closing the early worship service and getting on to the next one. People had already started gathering in the foyer for the 10 o'clock worship service, and I could see them through the glass door, and I was just thinking about ending on time and getting going. And when I said those words, now show me your glory, a ball of fire shot out of the back of the sanctuary, and it shot across the room, and it hit me in the stomach, and it dropped me to the floor and began what you see now. But I always marveled, as I thought about that prayer of Moses, I always marveled how Moses could pray those words after everything that he had seen. After all his experiences with the Lord, hearing the voice of God, seeing God in the burning bush, the plagues on Egypt that I just talked about, the Red Sea, seeing God provide bread on the dew, and pour water out of a rock. And the book of Hebrews says that the rock that supplied water for those 40 years followed them everywhere they went. When I get to heaven, I want to find out how that one worked. Moses had just come down from being on top of the mountain for 40 days in the presence of God, where he saw the finger of God write on tablets of stone, 10 commandments. And after Moses had seen all, I would think that would sort of be the icing on the cake, right? I mean, seeing, you remember the scene from Charlton Heston, right? Where the finger of fire writing on the tablet. I would think after I saw all that, I'd be like, I'm good, Lord. I'm good. I'm good. That's enough. But after Moses prayed all of that, he said, now, God, show me your glory. And I think I understand why. What Moses was asking God in that moment was, God, give me something permanent. God, give me a visitation that won't go away. God, come with such, after everything Moses had seen, the burning bush, the 10 plagues, the Red Sea, the manna and the water, the 10 commandments, after everything Moses had seen, still, every time he went into the presence of God, that radiance of God's glory would leave him. Every time he had a supernatural encounter with God, even if it lasted 40 days, it still wouldn't last. It still faded away. And I honestly believe that when Moses prayed those words in Exodus chapter 33, what he was saying to God was, God, give me something permanent. Give me something that lasts even if you have to kill me to do it. What Moses was asking to see was he was asking to see God in the fullness of his glory and his power. And he was saying, God, even if you have to kill me to do it, I want to receive something from you that lasts. I really believe that that's why Moses longed for our day. That's why Moses looked forward to the day that we live in. That's why he rejoiced and celebrated and longed and wished for that day. He wished for the day that we live in when we could experience a glory, a visitation of the glory of God on our lives that doesn't fade away, but that remains and in fact keeps increasing and increasing and increasing. He looked forward to a day when it wouldn't be fading glory anymore, but when it would be ever increasing. Increasing glory from glory to glory to glory. Fading glory is an experience of dead letters and dead ends. So what is an experience of glory to glory? What's an experience of ever increasing glory? Few things from the words of Paul here. First of all, an experience of glory to glory is a continuous stream of living words, a continuous stream of revelation. Paul says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Can I tell you, it's possible to preach the Word of God accurately and to kill people with it. It's possible to preach the Word of God accurately and to condemn and to put down and to minister death to people. You know, that's why God said, don't boil a kid, a baby goat, in its mother's milk. The mother's milk is meant to nourish. The mother's milk is meant to give life. The mother's milk is meant to support growth and health and maturity. And it's cruel to cook a baby in its mother's own milk, in that which was given to make it alive. Can I tell you something, beloved? This is milk. It's meant to give life. It's meant to sustain life, to support growth, to bring people to maturity. And it is possible, if you are someone who lives in a fading glory experience, if you're a preacher who lives in a fading glory experience, it's possible to preach this word accurately, but to cook people alive in it. A glory to glory experience is where there is a flowing stream of living words, of living revelation. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Paul said, you're the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Living words work, because they change us from the inside out. Living words, they lift you up. They lift up your spirit. They lift up your expectations. They instill hope. They inspire faith. They impart vision. They impart revelation. That they lift your sights and let your spirit know what is possible in God. Living words light a fire under you. They inspire you to get up and do something. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation comes with guilt and hopelessness, but conviction comes with hope for change. And living words, they light a fire underneath you and they give you hope for change. I can reach higher. I can do better because God says that I can. Living words light the way for life. They guide decisions. They guide patterns for daily living. Do you know all scriptures breathed by God? His breath blows out of the pages of this book. Do you know it's possible to open up this book and with the living voice of God speaking through the pages of this book to receive the answers that you need, the guidance that you need for the decision you have to make today? A glory to glory experience is an experience where there is a flowing stream of living words, of living revelation. A glory-to-glory experience means more and more freedom. Paul says the old covenant condemned men, but the new covenant brings righteousness. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom from what? Glory to glory is freedom from the bondage of sin. It's the freedom not to sin. It's freedom from striving in the flesh. It's freedom from a cycle of repeated failures and frustration. It's freedom from roller coaster Christianity. Up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, Paul describes the difference between fading glory Christianity and glory to glory Christianity between Romans 7 and Romans 8. Do you remember what he writes in Romans 7? He says, "Oh, who will deliver me from this body of flesh? The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do are the things that I end up doing. Who will help me?" Beloved, that is fading glory Christianity. But then we get on to Romans chapter 8. Who will deliver me from this body of flesh? I thank God, Jesus Christ, my Lord, will. For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. What does Paul mean when he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom? What he means is, I now have freedom not to sin. I now have freedom not to fail anymore. I now have freedom not to strive. I now have freedom not to be frustrated all the time. I now have freedom from the generational sins that have plagued my family from generation to generation. I'm now free from those things. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. What is a glory to glory experience? A glory-to-glory experience means that I have more and more and more impact. Paul says, therefore, seeing we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses who used to hide his face. Paul says he's made us competent as ministers of his new covenant. Glory-to-glory means that I have more and more impact on people. Do you know, the glory of God means the weight of His presence. How many of you have ever experienced just a manifestation of the weight of God's presence on you? I experienced it on Mother's Day when the Lord hit me with a fireball. I was on the floor on the platform for about 5 hours. And my face was literally planted in the carpet. I couldn't move it. I couldn't move my arms or my legs. I wasn't in distress. I wasn't uncomfortable in any way, but the weight of God's presence was just pushing down on me. There's only one other time that I experienced the weight of His presence in that measure of intensity. When I was a boy, I got baptized, but in the Holy Spirit alone in my bed one night. And that night, the weight of God's presence fell down on me in that same kind of intensity. I remember that it was so sweet and so wonderful that I didn't want to move because I was afraid if I moved, it would go away. And I didn't want that presence of the Lord to go away. But here's what happens. Glory to glory means that God's weight makes an impression on you, a deep impression on you. And when God's weight makes a deep impression on you, you then make an impression on others. You have more and more impact on people's lives. You have more and more influence in your family. You have more and more influence in your community, in your world, in your workplace. It means that my life becomes more and more compelling. It means that my words become more and more compelling. I like that word, bold. He says, since we have this hope of ever-increasing glory, we're very bold. We're not like Moses, who used to hide his face. That means we speak boldly. You know, I think about what they said of Jesus, that people were unable to resist the grace that came from his mouth. That means that as the glory of God intensifies and increases in my life, that the people that I interact with, they're just not able to resist the influence of God that's coming out of me. Bold doesn't mean you have to be loud. Doesn't mean you have to be untactful. It just means that even with a single quiet word or two, you have the ability to cut straight through to somebody's heart and to open them up to the good news of Jesus. I remember I walked into the bank a little while ago, and when I walked in, I go every week the same day, and I always go to the same teller. And I remember I walked in one particular morning, and the Holy Spirit just said to me, "Tell her it's going to be okay." And so I just walked up to the window and I greeted Isla like I always did. And I said, "Isla," I said, "I just have to tell you, it's going to be okay." And the minute I did, she just burst out crying. And she said, "Thank you, thank you." She said, "I needed to hear that. I just needed to hear that." And so ever since that day, every time I go in, I have an opportunity to just to share a word or two about the Lord. We always talk about, "Isla, did you go to church?" "Yes, I went to church this weekend." And we have an opportunity to talk about the Lord. You see, an experience of ever-increasing glory means that the impact that you have on others' lives just keeps growing and growing and growing. What does a glory-to-glory experience mean? It means that we experience more and more of the beauty of the Lord. Paul says, "And we who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory from glory to glory, which comes from the Spirit of the Lord." You see, Moses had to put a veil on his face to cover the spectacle of the radiance of God's presence fading away. But Paul says we don't have to put a veil on our faces because we're not a spectacle of fading glory. We're a beautiful expression of glory that keeps intensifying and intensifying. The beauty of the Lord keeps radiating more and more and more. Do you know that it is actually a scientific fact that married couples look more alike as they get older? I don't know, look at your spouse. Somebody gets the raw end of that deal. But it's actually true that some married couples, the more years that they spend together as they grow older, some married couples do actually begin to physically change to resemble one another more and more and more. And scientists have studied that phenomenon for a long time, and they have come to a conclusion why. It happens, interestingly enough, more commonly in couples that have good marriages, strong bonds and strong bonds of intimacy, and spend a tremendous amount of time together. And what scientists have concluded is that as couples spend a lifetime face-to-face with one another, they mimic one another's facial expressions. And as they mimic one another's facial expressions, it actually reshapes the muscles in their face so that they come to resemble one another. So that the story of their love relationship is literally etched into one another's faces. Beloved, can I tell you, that's how it is with Jesus. As we stare into his beautiful face with no veil, we begin to mimic him. We begin to imitate him, and our love relationship with him becomes etched into our face. And how many of you know we're on the winning end of that deal? We come to look more like him. I want to share something with you quickly from James chapter 1. You know this scripture, but you might have heard it told a way that's not quite right. James chapter 1, I'm reading in verse, I can hardly read this, 18, I think it is. I'm on my way to progressive lenses. Listen, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. Jumping down to verse 23 of James 1. You know this verse well. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Probably most of you have heard that verse preached the way that I always heard it preached, that we look into the mirror of the Word of God and we see all the imperfections and we see it exposes everything that's wrong with us. And as we keep staring into the Word, you've perhaps heard it equated with the laver in the Old Testament. The priest looked into the laver, the wash basin, and washed away dirt. You may have heard this verse preached in that vein. Can I tell you that that's not at all the way that James meant it? James says anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do it is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and goes his own way and he forgets what manner of man he is. It's translated in English. The word actually in Greek is he forgets his new birth. What he forgets is not what's wrong with him. What he forgets is his new identity in Jesus Christ. What he forgets, he looks into the mirror. When we look into the mirror of God's word, we don't see everything wrong with us. We don't see everything deficient and all the shortcomings and all the ways in which we don't measure up. When we look into the word of God, what we see in this word is, I am a new creation in Christ. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. God has given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I am an heir with Jesus Christ. I am seated in heavenly places with him, high above all principalities and powers. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and it quickens my mortal body. And what James says is if you look into this word and then you put it down and go your own way, he said you forget what the word said about you. And you start to go back to who you were. You start to go back to your old man. You start to go back to what you were before. It's a fading glory experience. But he said, if you hold on to this word, whoever, listen, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he's done. James says, don't look into this book and see everything wrong with you. Look into this book and see what it declares about your new identity in Jesus Christ and keep staring into it and keep staring into it and keep staring into it until it gives you freedom in Jesus Christ. A glory to glory experience means that we reflect more and more and more and more of the beauty of the Lord in our lives. How do we move? How do we move from a fading glory experience to a glory to glory experience? Three keys that I find here. First of all, we move from a fading glory experience to a glory to glory experience by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3, only in Christ is the veil taken away. only in Christ is the fading glory experience taken away. Only through inviting Jesus Christ into your heart. Only by asking Him to cleanse your sins by the blood that He shed on the cross on Calvary. Only by receiving His forgiveness, His gift of salvation. Only through asking Jesus to become your Lord and to become the leader of your life will you be able to escape the fading glory experience. Beloved, my family spent years of our lives in church, living a fading glory experience. We were God-fearers. We knew the Ten Commandments. We knew the Apostles' Creed. We knew the Lord's Prayer. We were God-fearing people, but we didn't realize that there was another experience available, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving Him in our life in a personal way, in a powerful way in our heart, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ so that the veil of a fading glory religion could be taken away from us. I don't know all of you, and maybe there's someone here in this room and you've never taken that step of turning to Jesus, inviting Him into your heart. And I want to encourage you, if you want to escape fading glory religion, that's the place to begin, is by turning to Jesus and asking Him to be your Savior. Secondly, this happens by a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in the presence of God. This happens. How do we move from a fading glory experience to a glory to glory experience? It happens by a supernatural encounter with the Holy Spirit in the presence of God. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So Paul says that there's an experience where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the presence of the Lord is moving, where God is active and He's at work. There's an experience available of turning to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will take that veil of fading glory experience away. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to join me in crying out to the Lord the prayer that started all of this on Mother's Day Sunday. But I want to ask you to do it with understanding tonight. We're going to pray those words one more time. Now, show me your glory. And as we pray them, we're going to understand that what we're asking God to do is just what Moses was asking God to do. God, do something permanent. God, do something that lasts. Do something that sticks. I don't want to be joyful just a day or two at a time. I don't want to be just solid in my Christian walk just a day or two at a time. I don't want to be effective sharing Jesus with others just a day or two at a time. God, show me your glory. We have an experience available to us because of Jesus Christ. We have an experience available to us that wasn't available to Him. He asked for something that He couldn't get, but we can ask for it tonight, and it's something that we can anticipate receiving. God, do something that lasts. Do something that sticks. Do something that's permanent. Start something that grows and grows and grows with ever-increasing glory. People are going to stare at you, but they're not going to stare at the spectacle of fading glory in your life anymore. You know what? People at work love it when the Christian gets mad. Don't they? People at work, they love it. They watch you, don't they? I know they do. My staff watches me here, and we're all saved. A couple of weeks ago, we had a little run of bad luck with our cars. I have a little Volkswagen convertible. It's old. It's 13 or 14 years old, but it only has about 35,000 miles on it. And I was out one day, and I was picking up my kids at elementary school. And I was sitting still, parked, and somebody rear-ended me and pushed me into the SUV in front of me. And, you know, the car's so old, it literally didn't have a single scratch anywhere on it. But the car's so old, I wasn't carrying collision on it. And so we got out, we exchanged insurance information with the woman that hit me and the woman that I got pushed into, yada, yada. And I got a letter in the mail a few days later that the woman who hit me, her insurance was lapsed. And so it wasn't covered. So, okay, that was just sort of a third car. So we just parked it and we'll deal with it someday when we get to it. A few days later, Denise was driving home from work in our Volvo, and she heard this loud pop while she was driving home, and the transmission fell out of our Volvo. So that was two cars down. And then our last car is a Subaru Outback that my dad gave me two or three years ago. Beautiful. Only had 28,000 miles on it. He gave it to me. And Denise was at the Greenwich Library, and she comes out of the library, and there's a woman leaving a note on her windshield. She borrowed her son's Jeep, and pulling out of the parking spot next to Denise, she hooked the back bumper of the Subaru and ripped it clean off the back of the car. So when I got the phone call in my office that my last car was being towed away somewhere, I came out of the office and I just shouted at the top of my lungs, "I can't stand it anymore!" Everybody came running, laughing. They knew. Pastor Nick, you know, he moves in a prophetic gift. He knew. He knew when he heard me shouting, he knew that the last car was gone, was done for. Can I tell you the people that you work with, the people in your own family, come on, they're watching for the fading glory. They want to see the spectacle. They want to see the spectacle of the fading glory. They want to see you lose it. They want to see you blow your stack. They want to, come on, they want to see you. You know what they want to see. they want to see it. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. People are going to start staring at you, but they're not going to be staring at the spectacle of fading glory. They're going to be staring at the spectacle of glory to glory to glory. They're going to be staring at the spectacle of the ever-increasing glory of the God, of the Lord on you. They're going to be staring at the beauty on you. Something's different about you. Something's changed. Wow, you're so peaceful. Do you ever have somebody come up to you and just say, you know, why are you so joyful? Why are you so happy all the time? Why do you stay calm when everything's going crazy? See, that's the ever-increasing glory of the Lord on you. Come on. They give you a hard time at work, but when someone needs prayer, whose desk do they make a beeline to? Come on, they come straight to your cubicle, right? They come straight to your workstation, to your office. They come seeking you out, hunting you out, because they know that there's something different about you. I want to speak to you prophetically in the name of Jesus, and I want to tell you that people are going to begin staring at you, and what they're going to be staring at is the radiant beauty of God increasing and increasing and increasing on your face and on your life. How do we get this experience? We turn to Jesus. Jesus isn't your Savior. Invite Him to be your Savior tonight. By a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in the presence of God, that's what we're going to ask God to do. And the third thing is by continuing to behold Him. Paul says that as we continue beholding Him as in a mirror, as we continue looking and staring into His face, so we continue having that table fellowship with Him. How do you gaze into His face? How do you behold Him? Beloved, when you gaze into the Word, you gaze into His face. When you worship, you gaze into His face. Can I tell you, when you're loving on others, you gaze into the face of God. And as you do those things, as you continue beholding Him, as you continue staring in His face, the beauty of the Lord is going to increase and increase and increase upon you. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to do something tonight. I think that maybe there's somebody here and you've experienced the frustration of fading glory experience. And tonight there's an encounter for you in the presence of the Lord where the Holy Spirit is going to take you from a fading glory experience to a glory to glory experience. Do you believe it? Amen. Pastor Dan, you can come and help me if you would. Would you stand up on your feet with me? And let's just give glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ. Come on, would you give the Lord a big offering of praise, a big offering of thanksgiving this evening? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just begin worshiping the Lord, would you? We thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, church. You supply your own lyrics. We thank you, O Lord. We praise you, Lord God. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Dan, let's sing Love Came Down and Rescued Me. Love came down and set me free. Come on, would you sing those words with us?
Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. Now I am yours. I am forever yours.
Mountain high,
valley low, I sing out and remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever yours.
Come on, sing. Love came down and rescued me.
Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. Now I am yours. I am forever yours.
Mountain high
and valley low, I sing out and remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever.
Sing,
yours.
I am yours.
I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours.
Sing, I am yours.
I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I
am. Come on, sing it again. I am yours.
I am yours. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. Now I am yours. I am forever yours.
Mountain high
and valley low, I sing out and remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever yours.
Come on, would you lift up your hands and praise Jesus in this place? We praise you, Lord. 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 We love 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 you, O Lord. We love you, O Lord. We love you, O Lord. Would you bow your heads with me in this place? We're going to have a ministry time in just a minute or two. But before we go there, I have to ask this question. This